Somebody once told me that you were here for Jedi Alliance episode 128, where we're going to be talking about part two of our celebration blowout, including some of the stuff that I saw firsthand, so you don't want to miss this. Stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. Here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Yeah! Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga in film and pop culture. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. So happy to be back. Thank you to Alexis Horace and Michael Young, the two people also sitting here in this room.
Do what we can.
For holding down that fort last week. Michael.
What's up?
Where can the folks find you on Twitter and Sitch?
Everyone can find me at One Youngster. That is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T.
Hey!
Alexis Torres.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for the crappy noise that is coming out of my mouth. It's called my voice. But you guys can find me all over the interwebs at A-Torres-890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890.
So, Alexis, since you are feeling a little bit under the weather, please don't feel the need to constantly interject. Save your voice, because I know you've got another show later tonight.
Yep,
and we also know that you have the concert later tonight, where she's going to be singing in front of thousands.
Yeah.
Anybody see Fifth Element?
That's me.
Yeah, that's Alexis.
So I'm going to Mariah Carey it, and you just see random little cue cards come up. That's what's happening.
Never better.
So, y'all... I just got back from honeymoon, which involved going to Star Wars Celebration. Mm-hmm. Ignore the Aperture Science pin. I got that one for free.
That's so cool.
There was only one non-Star Wars thing there, and it was just a video game booth. But before we get into all of the Celebration stuff, there was one piece of news that came out this week that didn't have to do with Celebration, and I really want to talk about it because we preach this gospel here at Jedi Alliance.
Better believe
we
it.
Preach the holy gospel that is Lost Stars.
Oh, yeah.
So we found out earlier this week that it is going to be receiving a manga adaptation. And it's going to be released, the first chapter anyway, is going to be released on May 4th. Who knew? Not that special of a day when it comes to Star Wars. Not really.
Yeah, whatever.
The only thing really is I was surprised that this didn't come out at Celebration.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Like, Claudia Gray wasn't there, so they may have wanted her to, like, make that announcement, but there was no... there was a Marvel Comics panel, but there wasn't really an anything else panel. May not necessarily have been a place for it, but I'm so stoked. I love the way Thane and Sienna look. And it's the start. Once it starts to permeate into pop culture from a comics perspective.
And I can't wait to pick that up either. I'm really psyched for that.
There's no word yet on an English adaptation of the Japanese adaptation, but...
I'm pretty sure it's already underway.
It's inevitable, but the thing, if for people who aren't as familiar with manga, is there are weekly magazines in Japan that are collections of chapters of various stories, of various series, and it takes a while to have a book full, or essentially a book's worth of chapters. So usually every 2 months... Usually, because the artists have to finish the work and then be able to release it in mass, and then advertising and special covers that take additional time, all that stuff as well. So the thing that I wanted to ask, I'm not tired.
It's nothing that I want to ask anyone, or maybe I want to ask them something.
Mm-mm. I'm so sorry. Mm-mm. I apologize for my grammar. I haven't really...
What's wrong with accents?
Oh my god. Nothing? We don't have time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for accent. But does anybody think that this is a gateway and we might see an anime adaptation of the manga series? A legit Star Wars anime.
Well, and I'm sure you guys have seen this fan, somebody did a fan animation. The star fighting pilot. And I'm like, whoever did that, whoever the team that animated that, Disney, find them. I'm sure. I don't know the name of it, but it's on YouTube. You can look up like Star Wars fan anime or something like that, and it'll show up.
Yeah.
It's a cool 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes, something like that. It's from the Imperial side, just like Lost Stars. Mm. And it's a lot of fun. Well, part of Lost Stars. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I'm down for it.
If you're a metal fan, it's somewhat reminiscent of an old Megadeth music video.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it, some of the shots are seem to be not necessarily lifted, but inspired by that video. So, Alexis, are you down for some Star Wars anime?
Yeah.
This is going to be great for our audio listeners because it's just going to be a lot of hand motions. And,
but no, I mean, if we, I mean, I love the series that we had that was more like stylized, like Samurai Jack kind of stylization. So I feel
Gendy's one.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like having an anime style would be even fine with it.
Super it's a logical next step.
Yeah.
I know Marvel did. They did X-Men, or no, they did Wolverine and Iron Man
and then they did the Black Widow Punisher one.
They did the Black Widow Punisher one. They did. And there's probably going to be more soon
Disney,
at some point.
Give Studio Ghibli a ring a ding ding.
Well, no, they're partnered.
Yeah. You're right.
John Lasseter, a friend of mine was talking about the pre-Disney dubs of My Neighbor Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service and how rough they were.
Yeah.
But then once Disney came through, it was like, no, here's some goodness.
This is how you do it.
Well, they get, you know, A-plus voice acting talent. Regardless, yeah, I'm excited.
It's super dope.
I'm super excited.
Miyazaki get this thing popping.
Oh, my God, please.
Not like I need another... Oh, my God, a Studio Ghibli Star Wars movie.
I need it. I need it in my life.
That would be so sweet.
Don't put that into the
world. Oh, my God.
Don't put that into my head.
Like, guys, start tweeting Disney now. Make it happen.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
Start tweeting John Lasseter. John Lasseter is the key to Hayao Miyazaki.
Cool.
All right. So let's head back to Celebration. It has been quite a week since, oh my goodness, was it a wild experience. My wife and I took a red eye straight to the convention. If you watched last week's episode, I left a little bit of a video. And I watched your reactions, you beautiful so-and-so. I love you. I love all these beautiful folks that get to work with on this Jetty Alliance.
The Jetties, they have like the terry cloth robes and stuff.
Exactly. It's just like...
The more relaxed side of the Force.
Oh my God.
Coffee.
We're fighting the Sith already?
Yeah, I need some of that Jakku roasted coffee. So some of the stuff that... not being able to do stuff really makes you sort of search and really spend a lot of time on the floor. My wife and I, on the first day, we had a lot of time to kill before the only panel that we got to go to on day one, which was the Billy Dee Williams panel. Panel De Laurento. I don't know.
Oh my God.
So we got a chance to preview a new game, a new mobile game that's coming out. That's called Star Wars Puzzle Droids.
Yes.
Now, for anybody who is a fan of like Bejeweled or Disney Emoji Blitz, or anything where it's you match three shapes and you advance, this goes a step further. I got a little bit of gameplay that we're going to show. So let's take a quick look at that, and then I'm going to talk over it. So this is from BB-8's perspective. It's him retelling the story of Episode 7, at least the main campaign is. So you go from bit by bit, starting all the way at the beginning of the movie with the Lor San Tekka. And while there is the basic elements of, hey, here I'm matching two, three things, there are extra story missions and extra character missions that you'll be able to unlock that are going to be able to add extra depth. If you earn a certain level, you unlock Rey. Rey gives you a certain mission, and then by completing those missions, you get higher level missions, which raises Rey's level, and you get harder stuff. And it's more than just, all right, here's round one, round two, round three, round four, round five. It's a little bit more of a story kick, and you get a little bit more Star Wars for it. There's also stuff from R2-D2's point of view that's going to be like Wave 2. But if you've played a tile matching game like this, it's super fun. You could pre-order, or you can pre-download it already on the Google App Store or the Google Play Shop.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pre-order it, pre-download it, and it's going to be available really, really soon. But I would really recommend it. It was a lot of fun to play, and because we had nothing to do, I was there playing for like 20 minutes, just like, all right, let's get
So they give you a demo download or something, or could you only play it on their devices?
We could only play it on the floor.
Okay.
So they had tablets that we can play. They had videos running of like all of the features, and then I just got to talk to them. They gave us a free shirt that my wife is going to sport because they only had lady sizes. And I know I'm svelte,
hashtag
but I'm not.
Lady sizes.
Hashtag lady.
No comment.
So that was a lot of fun. I highly recommend everybody checking that out. This next thing, I just wanted to follow up because I know y'all talked about it. The Women of Star Wars panel. And the Forces of Change, Forces of Destiny.
Yeah.
Force for Change is the charity. Forces of Destiny is the animated.
That's a lot. Yeah.
The animated series and the toy line. So as everybody, as y'all reported last week,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a toy line attached to a series of animated shorts. Did you talk about the one that Dave didn't know whether he was allowed to announce or not?
No.
That there's going to be a Hera short.
Do tell.
No.
And it's going to take place on the forest moon of Endor, and she's going to be in contact with Leia and Han.
Ooh.
It takes place in like during the mission. She's one of the other rebel generals that's on the forest moon of Endor.
All right, now this is awesome. Cool. This is very cool. But we're tiptoeing on like possibly like breaking some story stuff.
But
it's cool.
Well, here's the
I'm
thing,
glad she's
they,
there, but they, I'm like,
oh no,
because we're tiptoeing on like, she was there really? Well, she was, because I'm sure somebody's going to say that.
Well, the first thing is like, she's in season 2 of the Freemaker Adventures.
Yeah.
Freemaker Adventures. And that's not canon. So everybody went, oh, nice, Hera's going to be there, but it's not really canon, so it's no sort of confirmation or anything. Yeah. But this with Daisy, with all of the actors and actresses returning for their parts for this is teetering on canon.
I was under the impression that all of these were canon.
That's what I thought too. I just didn't want to speak out of turn.
I was under the impression from the panel that these are shorts, but still canon.
I was in line for this shirt while this panel was happening. My wife accidentally went into the fast line, mm-hmm. and because security was dealing with Donnie Yen, she just walked right up to the front of the line, and she went, Oh, that must have been somebody famous. And then realized, oh my god, that was Donnie Yen. But she got a chance to rush up, saw Daisy come out, and the end of that panel, which was really cool. And as you talked about them with their dolls. I also heard, I love the style. I also found out that while they're starting with the Women of Star Wars, it's also going to have, the Forces of Destiny line is also going to include, like, Luke and
Of course.
Han and,
well,
yeah.
I think
it would be dope just sticking with the women. That's cool.
I agree, but...
We could do something. You got Mon Mothma. Of course, you know, people, politics have like a stain on, you know, but I think they could do something really cool with some politics stuff. Mm. Or her kind of like giving some rousing speech to get people like, yeah, the rebellion, we're pumped, you know?
The rebellion. Is that what that has?
The rebellion pep rally.
Oh my God.
Next Wednesday.
I'll go to that.
Yeah, I would go to that.
Yeah, we got popcorn.
Yeah.
We got popcorn. Sweet flags.
Yeah. Sweet flags and guns. And like, But I think it would be cool because there's a lot of room with just the women to tell stories. And if they're shorts, I'm assuming they're going to be kind of like the DC shorts where they run like as maybe like bumpers on
Disney XD
shows.
Well,
and stuff.
They are going to be on YouTube. They are going to be on YouTube.
I think
is going to be their main.
Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah, is going to be their main thing. But if you get YouTube TV. Which
this gentleman
I've had for a month. It's great to just like, since I'm here at the studio so often, this is turning into a YouTube TV commercial, but it's really nice to turn on YouTube TV and it saves, like, oh, hey, this episode of Rebels, even if it's not a new one, it's like season 2, episode 3, whatever.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, yeah, I get to watch that. It still has commercials, but you can fast forward through commercials, whatever. But yeah, I'm super excited about the Forces of Destiny line, and that panel was a lot of fun. For anybody who thought, oh, I wasn't there, I didn't get a chance to see anything, if you go to the Star Wars YouTube channel, they have the majority of the panels available to stream. And, and I highly recommend the Women of Star Wars, the 40th, the Last Jedi panel. But somebody asked in the show, chat, in the chat.
Chat.
That thing on the side.
It's been a long 10 days.
Hey, man.
What panels I got to attend. So I'll list those off right now. We got the Billy Dee Williams, the Billy Dee Williams panel, which was him and Warwick Davis. Learned a lot of amazing stuff about him. I did not know that he was a painter, and his stuff is so cool. He likes to paint a lot of jazz motifs, and it's really good. Like, I really want it.
Like, how much is that?
Yeah, because when you text me about it, my grandpa's like, "Well, yeah, I've known about that." And I was like, "Why haven't you shared why didn't you share with the class?" Like, I had no idea. Like,
yeah, I knew about that. No
yeah,
big
I was
deal.
Like, "All right, Grandpa."
I got a piece. You know, in the
I attic. Thought he it's did. Like, I was supposed to be like, "We're gonna fight right now. This is about to happen." But no, he's like, he's always wanted one, but he's never had. I heard they're very expensive, which makes sense.
So Friday was fun because that day I literally waited in line all day. I waited in line all day to get into the store to find out that they were out of stuff.
Aww.
To wait in another line. This shirt was made on demand. I wanted something with the 40th anniversary logo on it.
Heck yeah.
They had screen printers on site to print shirts, so I had to get this 40th shirt. That was an extra half an hour. And then to check out was an extra half an hour.
Oh, my God.
And I only know that it was 35 minutes, and I know that because I watched 35 minutes of The Force Awakens. I got right past Chewie, we're home, and then I was like, oh, it's me.
Jeez.
But in terms of merch, it was really hard not to buy anything.
I can imagine.
And I still spent like $120. I got two shirts. I got a pack of pins because of your boy IG-88.
That's right.
He came in a 3-pack with Bosk and Boba Fett. Traded away Boba Fett because who cares? And I got
Boba Fett.
But I traded him for Grand Moff Tarkin,
which
I was super down for.
And that's then, right.
I was tooling around and I found this pin that is the last tour to Endor. It was limited of 2,000 around the world for Star Tours, and more on Star Tours in a second. But first, I'm so happy I found that.
Yay.
I flipping love it. The Star Tour stuff was a highlight of my weekend. Anthony Daniels had a panel with Warwick Davis, and they're both such huge showmen that they were competing with each other.
Oh my God.
I watched a little bit of it. I was just you guys.
Dude.
I was like, what are we doing right now?
Guys, chill.
But it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. They ended up reenacting the whole.
Oh, I did like that. Oh. I did like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I never noticed the tongue thing until, like, I always thought it was, like, funny, but I never really thought about it until it was like,
ew.
Yeah, it's gross. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, he does have, like, a
Warwick,
tongue
more
moment.
Tongue. Warwick, more tongue. Warwick,
more tongue. I really just wanted Mark to just have a handful of ice and be like, chill.
we had standby for that, and then we bolted out of that and got into standby for the Battlefront panel. We're going to shift into talking about some Battlefront because that panel was
excited.
Amazing. Let's take a look at that trailer and we're going to talk over it because it's gorgeous. Now, this did leak a couple days before.
It did.
But one of my favorite things about it is we got the confirmation that there's a story, and it's... it's from the perspective of the Empire / First Order.
Which I think at one point when Mark and I were talking about Battlefront, I don't know if it was any time during
the
this
show.
Podcast or if it was during a different podcast or something like that, but I definitely remember you mentioning, I would like to see Battlefront do something from the Empire's point of view. And I was like, Mark!
He's like, yep.
You called it, buddy.
Yeah, dude.
You did it.
But the fact that The story starts on the day of the Battle of Endor, and with the Death Star exploding. And I'm trying to... Unfortunately, I didn't write down her name on my... on my notes, but I know I tweeted her name.
She does have a name?
She does have a name.
I couldn't find anything.
They kept saying it. Iden Versio.
Oh, awesome.
Iden Versio is our lead. Her father has a huge history with the Empire. Was a former general. So she has a lot to live up to.
Great.
And like the fact that they're playing with all of the worlds we know, story is going to be canon. So this is, I hope that they meld in stuff that we've been getting from the books.
It just looks so cool.
I don't understand where Clone Wars come in. I don't think that those that have anything to do with the story. But if we get anything from her dad, maybe that took place during the Clone War era.
Maybe. Because you're looking at, depending on how early he was in the military, he probably would have had to been around during that time, maybe.
And if she's maybe mid-20s, 30s, maybe, at the Battle of Endor, then the entire main saga is him being a father. So he probably fought in his prime in the Clone Wars.
Now, is this going to link up with any of the Aftermath stuff?
We don't know. At this point, we don't know. The only thing that we know...
This might make me go back and try to read Aftermath again because I couldn't get through
it. No, no.
Oh, hey, man.
So, dude, there's too many books these days. Speaking of books, though, we did find out... I remember reporting on the show that there was a new book called Inferno Squad.
Yes.
That was going to be coming out. It sort of had like a blank placeholder title.
And a boss poster.
And as they were talking about this, they said, you're going to be Iden Versio of Inferno Squad. And in my chair, I was like, wait. There's a book called Inferno Squad. And it's going to be written by Christy Golden.
Cool.
Who's the writer of Dark Disciple.
Yes, she is.
And so... She is going to be, the story is going to be about when Inferno Squadron was just forming and sort of cutting their teeth and becoming this family unit. Damn it.
Sorry.
They're going all in on this. And they showed in the trailer, we saw a bit of Tatooine. There's a new planet that was like, you know what? Let's join the Empire. What do we have to lose? Like, the main hub of Inferno Squad is a planet called Vardo that is just like, dude, the Empire, great in our books. So you get
to
really
see... Yeah, because the Empire was good. Depending on who you were and where you were, the Empire was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Empire was just like, oh, you know, there's nothing
wrong. Wait a minute, you're going to improve trade, give us supplies, and we don't have to worry about terrorists? Dude, I'm all about it.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the Trade Federation anymore. We don't have to worry about, you know, the Republic infighting and everything. Because the Republic was corrupt. You know, they were highly corrupt. Imagine this. The Republic was so corrupt that the Sith were able to hide inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how corrupt it was. So... For a lot of planets, they were like, oh, cool, streamline this. Fine with me.
And it's super high-tech looking. It's got a really... It's got a contrast of, like, this slate and red. They talked about these plants that... Or these trees that have red leaves that when they hit the water, it looks like they bleed.
Oh.
Which has...
I wonder if that has to do with, like, that bleeding planet on Last Jedi at all. The one where they're, like, flying and there's, like, red dust, like...
That's a mining planet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. So that when they said it was a mining planet, oh, that makes sense. But we also saw a bit of Kamino and some Starfight. Yes. So we saw Slave One and Obi-Wan's Starfighter engaged in combat. And if we're at Kamino, I wonder if there's stage-specific heroes like there used to be in the old Battlefront series, and if that means we're going to be getting clone hero characters like Rex.
Yo, you know, bring back top Rex Fives.
Fives, all about it. Wolf. Who is Obi-Wan's general? There's too many clones. Too many clones.
Yeah. But that would be cool because Kamino was probably the best part of episode two. You know, that was probably the best. Like,
there's a lot of drama in there.
Yeah, like, you know, the detective story of, like, Obi-Wan figuring out, like, hold up, what is, where is this planet? Mm-hmm. You know, who is Sifo Dyas? Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who's, I gotta go there. And then getting there and be like,
Cody,
what?
Thank you, Hassan. Yeah. Cody.
Yeah.
Other planets we saw, of course, at the beginning, Starkiller Base, Hoth. I thought I saw a planet that looked like Takodana, which is the planet with Maz Kanata's bar in it. Mm-hmm. They confirmed that there will be Tauntaun mounts on Hoth,
oh,
which okay. I'm super down for. from Space Battles, they mentioned Vulture droids, First Order starfighters. Ships are going to be upgradable. Heroes are going to be upgradable. Soldiers are going to be upgradable.
Wow.
And there are going to be classes again, like there were in the older Battlefront games as well. And then after the stream went off the air, so for those of you who watched the entire stream and went, oh, I know all of that, they showed us a video that's not going to be released for another couple months. That's a studio tour of Motive, which is this one of the studios that's helping to do the single-player campaign. Ooh. And
which a lot of people complained about.
Not having in the first game. They had assets that resembled Jakku. They had assets that reminded me of Skellig Michael. They mentioned new planets. Iden has a mini probe droid like the Seven Sister does in Rebels, because they needed to make the Rebel side has cute droids. The Imperial side has to have cute droids because you're supposed to help sympathize with these
BT
people.
I mean, they have BT in, triple zeros or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, and also K2 the K2 droids while murder bots. All right, you know, they're interesting in their
BT
own right.
BT's crazy, but he's cool.
The super interesting thing is in the trailer, you hear the Emperor's voice on the bridge of a Star Destroyer, and Iden, you know, just sort of listening to orders. But we got a little bit more of a look from it in the video, and it looked like an Imperial Guard, but the face mask was projecting the Emperor's face.
Wow.
While it was talking. And have no idea at what point during the story it is, if it's like right before them getting onto the ground on the forest moon of Endor, or if it's something else where the Emperor had like extra messages for them or whatever. But it a lot of really, really cool implications from Battlefront 2. Man, do I want this game. It comes out this year. They're going to be doing a beta. They announced it. There's going to be more at E3, and we're trying to go. We're trying to go to the EA Play event so that we can give you some firsthand knowledge of the game.
Yeah, you guys got your stuff. I know you got your stuff.
I got mine.
I got mine.
And we're also trying to get press signups as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that we can get a little bit more info for you.
Hello, Mal.
The viewer. Battlefront.
It's Battlefront. I was just watching the trailer and thinking, I wonder how long it'll be until we get maybe a theatrical release of something like this. Like, I know, you know, we have our CG movies, like kind of like Pixar or like Disney with like Moana or something like this. But, you know, this type of I guess the last one that we've seen kind of close to this was maybe like Spirits Within, maybe. They kind of tried something like this.
Yeah.
But it's getting, I know the eyes, there's still a problem with the eyes, you know, because, you know, as real people, we're always looking at other real people. So you can kind of look at the eyes and be like, something's not right. But just the look of it, everything else looks so real.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how long it'll be before we get something like Battlefront, the movie, you know, on the big screen. Like, I'm down for something like that.
Sure.
I think. I know people are used to seeing CG as more of a child's kind of thing, but I think it's maybe time to try CG as something for adults again, or maybe, you know, teens to adults, you know, something that's not completely maybe geared for poop jokes and stuff like that. Even though poop jokes are cool, but
poop jokes are so cool.
But it's going to be in your grave. Poop jokes are cool.
Poop jokes are cool. But I think you know, it could be cool on the big screen because it looked cool on my TV, and my TV is nowhere near.
And it'll look good on your 4K televisions if you have the PlayStation Pro or the Project Scorpio from Xbox. Or if you blast out all of your PC settings and play it on the highest, it'll look pretty cool. Because why not? They also mentioned the last thing that I'll say is they mentioned a whole bunch of heroes. They do have a pre-order bonus already. If you pre-order, you get...
We just talked about that.
You get but there is some silver lining to it. If you pre-order, you get costumes for Rey and Kylo Ren for The Last Jedi. So you don't get... new heroes, you just get costumes for them. So it's not anything super new, but you just get Kylo's scar and Rey's new outfit and hair from The Last Jedi. So there was Darth Maul. They announced and confirmed Darth Maul, Luke Skywalker, Yoda, Rey, Kylo Ren. And I don't think they had, I would figure Django because Slave One is in it. If not also Boba, I figure all of the heroes are going to be returning from Battlefront One and then a couple of more. But something that wasn't in the panel that I saw was that they are not doing a season pass like they did last year, where it was an extra $50-$60, and that would get you all of the extra heroes, all of the extra maps, all of this, because people didn't buy it. And then their numbers dropped off, and not as many people played it. I was one of those people. So now they're like, we don't want to... Like, they lost so much by having a paywall. Now they don't have it. And maybe they'll get a little
Hopefully, people will come.
And people stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, Alexis. You're welcome. I know you weren't too much part of that conversation.
No,
I'm sorry.
I was actually enjoying the talking, and I forgot that, I have a microphone. Oh, on the show. Because I was enjoying it, because it was like an information dump.
Please join us.
I loved it. All right. I'm sorry.
So here's another one where I'm going to talk a lot. So at the end of the Rebels panel, I know y'all talked about the Rebels promo trailer last week. The fact that Dave
Filoni, a lot of episodes.
Dave Filoni so dropped that it's going to be the last season of Rebels. Surprising, but not.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's only so far that it can go, and it's reaching that apex to where who knows what can happen. But they showed us an episode. They usually show a two-parter to the crowded celebration, but they showed us an episode. And it was a part one. It was about Clan Ren freeing a very valuable target to aid the rebellion and Mandalore. So it's a target that, and I'm trying to speak as generally as possible so that people don't get spoiled or this, that, or whatever. But the shot that we just put up is from the trailer. So it's not anything that's too spoiled. It like you just see Clan Ren and Ezra charging at something. It was very dramatic. There was some humor in it. Ezra being a total dork, as he is, doesn't know how to use a jetpack, which is pretty funny at some times.
You know why I'm at it with Ezra, so.
Yeah. The only other thing that I'll say, and we'll get on to the next topic, is a couple weeks ago when we talked about the preview for season 4, we showed that photo of a whole bunch of Mandalorian helmets, just death, seemingly, just a whole bunch of empty helmets and armor. Mm-hmm. We find out what that is in this episode, leading into part 2. It is very sad.
I didn't think it was going to be a happy thing. Sad. We had a party.
It might have been like Mandalorian graduation. They're like,
yeah, okay.
Like, woo. Yeah, that's what it is, Michael.
Oh, my God.
That's exactly what it is.
And did anybody notice how the trolling that Dave Filoni did?
Oh,
did you talk about it on the show?
We did for a little bit. We didn't talk about
a small amount.
All right, then never mind.
No.
We're interested
to know your thoughts.
I think he's just trolling people. Is during the panel he had a T-shirt that had Ahsoka Lives with a question mark under it, and then when he came back and said, "Hey, we're going to show this episode," he came out with a shirt that had Ahsoka Lives !! And then during press in the press room, he changed back into the question mark shirt, denying that he ever changed his T-shirt.
And I was just like, dude, what are you doing to me? But I also love it because during the heroines of Star Wars, like, Ashley came out and she's like, Ahsoka lives, right? And he's like, I have no comment. Right. And I was like,
and something kind of cool that happened, and I was too nerded out about it. I put it in the chat of the show because y'all were live as it was happening.
Yeah.
My wife and I spent Sunday night at City Walk, and as we in Orlando at Universal, and we were walking by, and I went, oh, that kind of looked like Dave Filoni. Because it was. He was wearing a baseball hat. And I was like, wow, you really can't spot him without that cowboy hat.
That cowboy hat is needed.
It's so iconic. And I'm pretty sure he was walking with Ashley Eckstein as well. But it was one of those things where it's like, it's not the convention anymore.
Yeah.
They're here with their families. Cool that I got to see them. Let them have their time.
Yeah.
And then, at Disney's Hollywood Studios, as we were walking through past the Brown Derby restaurant and just walking into another area, I saw the Prince Jr. family, Freddie and Sarah and their kids. And it was another thing where it's like, they just got done with dinner.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
They're with their kids.
Yeah.
They've got like a guide with them. Cool that I got to see them.
Yeah.
Because anyway. Even when I see people like that and I approach them, I don't, like, guys, don't try to take like all of the time. I just say like, look, I love what you're doing. It's just amazing that I've met you. Thanks for all the cool work.
And then I
bounce instead of like, don't try to like get everything signed that you could buy. It's like, it's just like, hey, I love what you're doing. Take it easy.
But you also, you don't know, since you're outside of the realm of convention, if they've had people come up to them all day. I like to play it safe. If we're not in a setting where they're ready for that,
understood.
Don't do that.
Which is tough too, because you're in a theme park, so it's like people are probably either sneakily taking pictures, I did with somebody else.
I've heard intel from friend of the show Emma Fife, since she is a VIP Emma guide at Universal Studios.
Yes.
She's walked people around before, and they get people to walk them around so that they're not interacting with the public. They can enjoy their day too without being stopped every 5-10 feet.
Yeah.
So totally understand. It was cool to see them up close and personal. Though I know he had some tough words for Ken Knapsack because of the events that occurred at the Star Wars Schmodown at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, yes.
Some sour words for him and Sam Witwer. Very fun. I was really sad that I didn't get a chance to see Ken in person, but they were just as busy as we were. So I'm just happy for him.
And that was a pretty tough match.
Yeah.
That was a pretty tough match, man. Ken is crazy. Ken is crazy. Sam is crazy. Like, those two guys... Mm-hmm. There needs to be another rematch.
Oh, it'll
like,
happen.
I was like, they're not going to let that
Ken
just
and
go.
Sam 3.
It'll happen. Make sure to go support Ken, the founder of Jedi Alliance. But, Rebels.
It was that good.
It was really good. It was good, That's but awesome. It was just like, gah. Though we were, I was sitting next to a dude that probably camped out that night because it wasn't smelling so good. Anytime he went, and this shout out to our audio listeners because I'm about to do something physical. Anytime he went, I was just like, gah. It was. Anytime raised his arm, I was just
But you know that's like con.
The funny thing is,
all you got to do is carry your stick around with you and reapply.
Hey man,
the funny thing is, I've been thinking for a long time. I need to do a video for my viewers of how to pack for a con. You have to, like, there's certain things, just hygiene, man, because you're going to be out there, you're going to be walking a lot.
Yep.
You know, at any con, you're probably going to put in, 2 miles of walking.
Yeah.
Maybe, if not more, you're going up and down the steps, you're all around, it's hot, people are close, you want to be fresh.
Especially if you're going to be talking to somebody, like if you're like coming in for a signing, you don't want to be like, hi, dude. Coming for a hug. And you're like, because
you want to have a fresh sit.
I mean, you can find it on the internet or talk to anybody. Like Neil and I went to WonderCon, and if you're a cosplayer, it gets hot depending on what you're doing. So like Neil and I have our fiance and I have a thing. It's like deodorant, Band-Aids, water. Yep. Those are the three things.
Oh, Band-Aids? What are you doing?
For me, because I'm a woman. I need stuff for my toes and for heels or whatever. But I mean, same thing for him, because he's wearing either Converse or something.
See, with me, my first thing is like, look, I know they're not the most stylish, but you need to get like some of those like New Balance or Asics. They're not the cool shoes, but they are comfortable.
They're comfortable.
Because you're going to be walking.
No, I know. And that's
but
like,
women can't.
Well, I mean, that depends. Like, clearly, if I'm going, if I'm just like in my thing, I have the Converse 2 that has the insole already in them.
My wife does the Fit Flops.
Hey, man, those are
because
awesome.
They're thick and they're comfortable and they tone the calves.
No, correct.
So going from here, but as we transition, Alex G says, Knapsack has a kick-ass podcast called Force Center. Not only Ken Knapsack, but Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yes.
They run Force Center and they update weekly like we do. Absolutely love them. I've been from before Celebration, during Celebration, and after, I've been talking about getting them on here and us going there.
And actually, I was on Force Center.
Center.
I was on Force Center with the guys. It was real fun for the Thanksgiving episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we did Thanksgiving dinner together, carving our turkeys with lightsabers.
Disgusting. I didn't go to Galactic Nights, which we talked about on the show, which was the extra ticketed Star Wars party at Hollywood Studios, but. I did go to Hollywood Studios with my wife just as a part of our trip, and we got to see the Star Wars fireworks spectacular, which is the coolest,
because
they project on the Great Movie Ride building, which looks like Man's Chinese Theater, and then they have two other buildings that they project on as well. It's remarkable. It's one of the it ends with a sort of a tribute to all seven Star Wars films. And wraps it up in like a really cool, really cool, really emotional Star Wars pro fan thing. And it was great to be there amongst other fans watching it. I would recommend go there before Star Wars Land opens, because you will not be able to find a spot once it does, because that place is going to be run over with Star Wars fans.
Right.
But transferring to the parks, also went to the Disney Parks and panel/History of Star Tours panel. It didn't call it the History of Star Tours panels. It was just the Disney Parks panel. But to my absolute joy, they started by bringing out Anthony Daniels and Imagineer Tom Fitzgerald, who helped design the ride. And they just talked about Star Tours for like 20 minutes, half an hour.
Oh my God, you must have been in heaven.
It was heaven.
Because we know you love Star Tours.
I know, like,
it's the best.
I mean, it is the best, to be honest.
Like, well, cool. There were, and until Star Wars Land opens up, it's the best.
Yeah.
So three of my favorite things to come out of the Star Tours talk was, one, they're going to do a journey to a planet from The Last Jedi like they did in The Force Awakens. We're going to be going to Krait, the mining planet that we saw in the teaser for The Last Jedi. No word yet on who's going to be the person that's going to be guiding you through that experience, because that would probably be a partial spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then also, Anthony Daniels told a really adorable story about, for the original Star Tours, if you've only ridden on the new one, C-3PO is in the queue only, not necessarily a part of the ride. He only does like the "we thank you for joining us," and it's hilarious and cute and adorable to watch Anthony Daniels go into C-3PO. But
and the gold jacket too, man.
I know, like, for real.
He genuinely loves C-3PO.
Yeah,
genuinely loves him as a character, and I love him. So. He told a story about doing the performance capture for reference for the audio animatronic engineers.
Yeah.
And he talked about a moment where he gave a line and he took a moment and looked down at where the line would be. Just like a quick glance, and then back up at R2 and then continued with his dialogue. And then fast forward to the walkthrough of the attraction. And he's just watching 3PO, and 3PO looks right at him. And then goes back to talking to R2. And he felt like, that doesn't make sense because I'm right here. that's not me. I'm me.
I'm me.
Which is just a wonderful way to show his dedication to that character.
Yeah, he rides hard for Star Wars. Like, seriously. And I mean, I know all of the actors have done their part, but I feel like he's... he's definitely earned his like his stripes for like he's traveling around. Yeah.
He's one of the only actors who's been in every movie.
Correct?
Yeah. If not the only.
He's been in every movie, including Rogue One.
Yeah, it's been long enough. He was in Rogue One.
It's our home release.
It's probably on YouTube somewhere. It's fine.
Yeah, once it's at home, I'm like, nah, it's fine.
Not to derail, but speaking of actors who got to go to who were part of Celebration and all that kind of stuff, I know that maybe it's just big for me because I know that he got so much crap. Hayden showing up to Celebration to me, yeah. I don't know why, but that was huge. For me, I guess.
I was really sad that it was only two questions.
Yeah, I know.
But
I
mean, for what we got, it was
nervous.
It was a good start. It was a good start.
I do like the fact that, and I didn't get to see, I only saw the clip of him coming on and people cheering, but I didn't see the questions.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that people, showed him the love that they did.
Yeah. I was really worried.
Because there was, there's things with the prequels that people might not be happy with.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
But for better or for worse, he's Darth Vader. He's Anakin Skywalker. He's our guy.
I was gonna say Matt Lanter.
He's both, but he's Vader. He's Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
He's our guy. And he's only doing what the director has him do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that people have, embraced him the way they did.
Yeah, because
George Lucas too, because I was worried.
Oh no, George will always have love.
Yeah. Well,
I know that, but I guess maybe it's an in your face thing because online there have been many fans that have acted like George Lucas did not create this stuff.
It's all talk on the internet. Yeah. It's all talk, but ultimately, when you've got Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen coming out, that's Star Wars. That's still Star Wars.
Yeah. Having them sit next together, I was like, look at it.
And
great.
He just kind of wanted Ian to turn to him and go, "Have you ever heard the story of Darth the Wise?"
Man, one of the best scenes in probably all of the prequels, where it's just behind them, and you're like, this dude is so dirty.
Yeah.
This dude is so slimy.
Just like that.
This dude is so slimy. Somebody needs to definitely arrest him now.
Yeah. No, for real. But it was just watching the stream live, at work, I got all teary eyed because I was definitely thinking he's not Justin Bieber status or anything, but I know that in that time frame, that's what he was. I was just scared people were going to be throw a bottle at his face.
I hope in the next Celebration he gets his own interview segment.
Yeah, because he deserves it.
We get Natalie Portman. We get
Ahmed
Best. Yeah, I would love to see an interview with Ahmed Best.
Yeah.
Again, right. Jar Jar love.
Yeah, we got it from Liam Neeson though.
That was cool.
That was pretty funny. I enjoyed that. But yeah, I know that I didn't want to go into too much detail about it, but it made me happy that because it looked like, at least from people that I know who went to Celebration, who got into the 40th panel,
mm-hmm.
when he came out, a lot of people seemed like he was kind of tense coming out to the first time.
Because you never know
of
all, online it gets rough.
Yeah.
And he probably was like, man, what if I come out there and it's booze? I don't want to come out.
You never know.
Because I was thinking when George came out, it was going to be like, yay.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
I thought it was going to be mixed. But there's a lot of people that, George doesn't know what he's doing and George, he ruined Star Wars. So I thought it was going to be mixed, kind of half clapping for George.
Nah.
And when he came down, I was just like, yes, cool.
Yeah. So the fact that he apparently some people's for people who were sitting in the front said it looked like he was getting teary eyed, but again that's from people I just talked to. I'm like, it might have been your angle.
Maybe you were getting teary eyed.
I was like, maybe it was you getting misty eyed and you couldn't see through your beautiful tears of what was happening. But it was just really cool that he was able to smile the entire time. And yeah, I agree with you that I felt like he should have gotten a couple more questions.
But the whole panel was a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
I was
hoping
that they were leading up to the future and George we're probably still a long way from this, but if George Lucas came back to do an anthology movie about anything he wanted, and he had Disney going, all right, George, let's steer you here, there, the other place. Mm-hmm. But if he could come back and do an anthology movie about anything that he wanted,
here's why I'm down with
it. That'd be so dope.
Because there's two names in Hollywood that have always pushed the boundaries of tech in film. That's George Lucas and James Cameron. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. George Lucas, say what you want. You can go back to the prequels now and be like, you know what? These effects still look pretty solid. I mean, we're like years and years past, and it's still kind of okay.
I agree.
Like, for this to be as old as it is, it kind of still looks mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
So I'd be down for that because I know that, one, this is his baby.
Yeah.
And two, you know that he's going to do some kind of cool visual thing that we haven't even thought about.
Yeah. Yep. Something completely different.
Yeah.
Not just Red Tails in space. But,
oh, my God. Going back,
Red Tails was cool. Red Tails was cool. Yeah. You should check it out. It's not that.
But bad. I know what you mean, though, yeah, at the same time.
I'm just going back. Yeah. So the last thing about the Star Tours section, and we're back. The last thing about the Star Tours, that's fine. I know you want to talk about that, and I'm sorry for not including that. But the last thing was the second that the Imagineers were shown the pod racing scene in mm-hmm. episode one, they wanted to go, oh, hey, let's change Star Wars. But they went, no, we got two more movies coming out. So they're like, okay. And then they were shown two and went, oh, we want to do this. And then they were shown three and went, oh, we want to do this. So that's when they got the idea, mm-hmm. what if we do different stuff every
I didn't know
time?
That.
But it start the fact that it started as early as Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blows my mind.
That's so crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
I like that.
And it took to 2010 to close the ride and reopen it.
Yeah.
So the second part of the panel was all about Star Wars Land. Did you guys look into this at all?
I didn't look into most of it because I kind of wanted it to be a surprise because I really wanted to go.
Okay.
But yeah.
But so here's... Oh, I left another prop in the car. Damn it. So they talked about how characters are going to remember you.
What?
It's not. Wow. It's not going to be. Oh, hi! I'm Timmy the weak way.
The weak way. I know. But
yeah, raise this money.
Yeah, it's okay.
His name's Timmy.
Timmy the weak way. He's got a giant hat.
It's like, hey, Timmy, you got a regular name, don't you?
Star Wars. Seems a little regular, sir.
So I totally forgot I had a video for this. So before we go into it, let's take a look into the early design stages of.
Oh, I did see this. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, this is the start, but take a look.
Beautiful.
It's so pretty.
Beautiful.
There are a couple of those moments growing up. For me, one of those was going to see Star Wars.
Got a little bit of an echo, Neil. Just turn down the computer one. There you go.
Was in that world of Star Wars. We were using X-Wings and we were using action figures. That was the way that I was making movies in my head when I was a kid.
Wouldn't it be great just to walk into the cantina or one of these experiences or to sit on the Millennium Falcon? Wouldn't that be great? And now this generation of kids is going to get to have it.
One of the things I'm most excited about is inviting our guests into that Star Wars universe. Being able to see it in person and to touch it and to smell it and taste it and kind of live that amazing Star Wars experience for themselves.
It's all the things that you've always wanted to do watching the movie that you've never had a chance to do. Having this attraction will allow guests to really immerse themselves and feel as if they are really, truly visiting Star Wars.
Our goal as we set
looks like a pod racing engine cooking meat.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
So real.
My wallet already hurts. It's not even done yet.
So bad. And to do this, we had to partner with Lucasfilm, partner with the team that's bringing these films to life. And together, Walt Disney Imagineering and Lucasfilm are crafting a place that is just going to amaze our guests, a place that they've just never seen before.
That we care a lot about making sure that the experience that people have in the parks feels like an immersion into the story of Star Wars and feels like an immersion into the place that we all recognize as Star Wars, even down to every little detail.
One of the areas that we're paying particular close attention to is the story. We're creating a place that is an extension of the Star Wars universe, not a recreation of an experience that you might have seen on screen, but something totally brand new.
There will be things in there that will feel very familiar, things in there that they've always wanted to see. But yet on top of that, we're also designing and creating new experiences so that it will really enhance what the Star Wars universe is.
you walk in there and everything from just being in the environment to having random characters that you actually interact with, everything about it is just about total immersion.
So it's very early in our development and the teams are working hard. We're not quite ready to announce all the details yet of the project, but when we do, I'm hopeful that you'll feel as excited about what this team is working on as I am.
When Bob Iger first mentioned that Parks and Resorts were working on a Star Wars idea or a concept, he used the word ambitious. This project is the most ambitious project I've ever seen in the history of Walt Disney Imagineering, that it is on a scale that is unprecedented.
I don't think that anyone can imagine the level of love and the level of thoughtfulness that has gone into this, and I think people are going to be so amazed. It's going to feel so real. I think it's going to be incredible.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So one of the whole reason I bring up Weequay is you saw a guy in there working on one,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it could be anybody, but could you imagine if they have a Captain Hondo face character?
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That is there and wants you to be a part of his crew, you see? Like something.
Yo.
So, yeah.
The only thing I can think of is, depending on how good this gets, this could be like, and not the negative stuff, but the Westworld of like Westworld level, not the negative stuff, but the all the fun stuff of, well, no, not that fun
okay,
stuff.
Okay, hold on.
Just a good adventure, but Westworld level, like,
we got
realness.
We got a question.
Can I interject?
Question in the front, please.
No, I wanted to talk about the fact that you brought that up, because a lot of people are talking about the fact that now that there's that Star Wars hotel that's going to be coming out, that it's going to feel...
It's still rumored. There's not a lot of information about it, so I didn't want to bring it up.
But sorry, I can stop now. I just...
We're really low on time, so. I'm gonna speed through some of the stuff that happened in this panel. They mentioned some like RPG elements where characters are gonna mm-hmm. remember you. You can join the Resistance, Smugglers, or the First Order, to the point where you might have people in town looking for you.
So now, how so?
Wow.
So I figure the way that it's gonna work is, I've experienced the Magic Band over the weekend that has all of your information in it. You have a profile, right. Stuff like that. So when we were on It's a Small World, there's no scanner, no nothing. We didn't have Fast Pass, whatever. We were just on the ride, and as we were leaving, there was a screen that said, "See you next time, Mark and Andrea." Just because it
knows the band.
It knows the band. So I figure, without even having to be like, boop, what's my rank? People will be able to know information based on this. And it's like, hey, this kid has been doing this thing. Go find this person. They look like this, or they're wearing this sort of band. Go find them. Or just have people on the street going, hey, I'm looking for this person. Is anybody
so, God.
Like, so, like, imagine the sweetest game of laser tag ever.
Yeah.
Like, the sweetest possible
they
game.
They mentioned that there's going to be uprisings in the streets,
yep.
Fights of that nature. It's a world.
I told you, my wallet already hurts, and it hasn't even finished yet.
It says it's a world where choices matter and you can build up a reputation. They didn't mention if that's visit after visit, but at least while you're there.
I'm hoping it's visit after visit.
I hope so too.
Yeah, because I feel like if someone who does that, maybe if they hit, like, I would love to see if someone was like their 100th visit, like something just enormous happens to them their entire day. They're at
so
the park.
Pablo Hidalgo was on the panel and he mentioned that this place exists. This is a place in the Star Wars galaxy. They have the star map, and they're determining where this place is. And they didn't say where, but they said that its location has welcomed certain histories and ramifications.
What a world to live in, that we can use a park, like a theme park, that might be canon. Like, that's insane to me.
It's canon.
Well, sorry, that is canon.
The place is canon.
This is not an interpretation. This is Star Wars. Something canonical.
Wow.
So literally, you walk into this world, you are a part of Star Wars now.
Holy
you
crap.
You are now in Star Wars.
That's insane.
Congratulations. They also...
Super.
The last thing that I'll mention before we start wrapping up is they mentioned that they've made new lightsaber technology.
Yes.
So they're... In real life, they made lightsabers that apparently are amazing.
Hmm.
Wow.
So I guess
they didn't show anything.
Right.
It was just the guy hosting the thing said, I saw them. I don't know how they do it, but it's really good. It's so good. Like, he just wouldn't let it go.
He's like, I have no idea how they're doing this. But...
We got a little bit of an idea of what the Millennium Falcon experience is going to be. but I'm not going to talk about that because that may be a little bit too spoilery.
All right, cool.
But it is something that everybody can be involved in, and not just, all right, pull down your lap bars, put on your seatbelts. It seems like you're actually doing stuff. It's not just, oh, I'm here to go on a ride. It's you being in Star Wars. Man, that hour went by real fast.
Okay, really quick. I know we got to go, but how did you feel about the trailer? Because we didn't get you on...
Oh, The Last Jedi trailer?
Yes. How do you feel about The Last Jedi?
I was also in line when that when that came out. Not enough time.
Okay. Okay. Next week.
Not enough
next
time.
Week,
fine. We'll talk about it next week.
Because I want to know... I really want to...
I want to know what The Last Jedi is. So before we go, ladies and gentlemen, put yourselves over. Tell the folks where they can find you and what you're working on. Alexis.
I'm not going to be here next week, which makes me really, really sad, but I will be in the chat still hanging out. I'm on my bachelorette party, East Coast style.
Then don't be on the damn chat.
You don't know. I might be in the hotel. I don't know. anyway, but you guys can follow me all over the interwebs at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. You guys can catch all the shows I'm doing because I don't have time to list all of them, but I will be on Bob's Burgers. We have two episodes tonight, so we have an hour-long after show. You should definitely check that out.
Michael Young.
Cool. You can check me online at One Youngster, which is O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A. And you can find me on Black Hollywood Live doing my Nerd Soul thing. If you want to find me on YouTube, it's one word, Nerd Soul, N-E-R-D-S-O-U-L. Blind Spot comes back this week. And a big super shout out to Ty on our Facebook page. You're the man. Yo, thank you for holding us down. Peace.
And I'm the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can find all of us here at Jedi Alliance Pod on Twitter. That's where you can find out if you're a fan of the week, as well as fun streams, fun pictures. More. That's where you can find me live tweeting stuff from Star Wars Celebration. And if you want to know anything more in depth about my experience at Celebration or at Hollywood Studios with Star Wars stuff, ask me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, and I'll respond to you directly, please. Follow all of us here at The Popcorn Talk on Twitter. Thank you for joining us, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.